So now you're really in trouble.
As opposed to what?
You were innocent before.
Grow up, Theresa. She didn't answer. I checked the locks on the cell gates. They were fine items. They looked high quality and very precise. They had milled top hat knobs graduated with neat engraving all around the edges, from the number 1 to the number 36. The knobs turned both ways. I spun them and felt nothing at all in my fingers, except the purr of slight and consistent mechanical resistance, the feel of great engineering. Certainly, I didn't feel any tumblers falling. I asked, "Do you want me to get you out?" Lee said,
"You can't."
"If I could, would you want me to?"
"Why wouldn't I?"
"Because then you'd really be in trouble. If you stay, you're playing their game." She didn't answer. "Jake, what about you?" He asked, "Did you find our shoes?" I shook my head. "But you could borrow theirs. They're about your size."
"What about you?"
"There are shoe stores on 8th Street."
"You gonna walk there barefoot?"
"This is Greenwich Village. If I can't walk around barefoot here, where can I?"
"How can you get us out?"
19th century problems and solutions versus 21st century expediency. But it will be difficult, so I need to know whether to start. And you need to make up your mind real fast, because we don't have much time.
"Before they wake up?"
"Before the Home Depot closes," Jake said.
"Okay, I went out."
I looked at Theresa Lee.
"I don't know. I didn't do anything."
"Feel like sticking around and proving that? Because that's hard to do. Proving a negative always is." She didn't answer. I was telling Sansom about how we studied the Red Army. You know what they were most afraid of? Not us. They were most afraid of their own people. Their worst torment was spending their whole lives proving their own innocence over and over again. Lee nodded.
"I want out," she said.
"Okay." I checked the things I needed to check, estimated dimensions and weights by eye. "Sit tight. I'll be back in less than an hour." First stop was the next room. The three federal agents were still out cold. The main guy would stay that way for 8 solid hours, or maybe much longer, because his body mass was less than 2/3 of mine. For a bad second, it struck me that I might have killed him. A dose calibrated for a man of my size might have been dangerous for a smaller person. But the guy was breathing steadily right then, and he had started it, so the risk was his. The other two would be waking up much earlier, maybe fairly soon. Concussion was unpredictable. So I ducked through to the anteroom and tore all of the computer cords out of the walls and carried them back and used them to truss the two guys up like chickens. Wrists, elbows, ankles, necks, all tight and interconnected. Multi-strand copper cores, tough plastic sheathing, unbreakable. I peeled my socks off and tied them together in line and used them for a gag on the guy with a head wound. Unpleasant for him, but I figured he was getting a hazardous duty supplement in his pay and he might as well earn it. I left the other guy's mouth alone. His nose was smashed, and gagging him would have been the same thing as suffocating him. I hoped he would appreciate my benevolence in the fullness of time. I checked my work and reloaded my pockets with my possessions from the table, and then I left the building. Chapter 46. The staircase led up to the first floor and came out in back of what had once been the place where the fire trucks parked. There was a wide, empty floor full of rat shit and the kind of mysterious random trash that accumulates in abandoned buildings. The big vehicle doors were locked shut with rusted iron bars and old padlocks, but there was a personnel door in the left-hand wall. Getting to it wasn't easy. There was a half-cleared path. The trash on the floor had been mostly kicked to the side by the passage of feet, but there was still enough debris left around to make barefoot walking difficult. I ended up sweeping stuff out of the way with the side of my foot and stepping into the spaces I had made, one pace at a time. Slow progress. But I got there, in the end. The personnel door was fitted with a new lock, but it was designed to keep people out, not in. On the inside was just a simple lever. On the outside was a combination dial. I found a heavy brass hose coupler on the floor and used it to wedge the door open a crack. I left it that way for my return and stepped out to an alley, and two careful paces later I was on the West 3rd Street sidewalk. I headed straight for 6th Avenue. Nobody looked at my feet. It was a hot night, and there was plenty more attractive skin on display. I looked at some of it myself. Then I flagged down a cab, and it took me 20 blocks north and half a block east to the Home Depot on 23rd Street. Doherty had mentioned the address. Hammers had been bought there prior to the attack under the FDR drive. The store was getting ready to close up, but they let me in anyway. I found a 5-foot pry bar in the contractor section, cold rolled steel, thick and strong. The trip back to the registers took me through the gardening section, and I decided to kill two birds with one stone by picking up a pair of rubber gardening clogs. They were ugly, but better than literally nothing. I paid with my ATM card, which I knew would leave a computer trail, but there was no reason to conceal the fact that I was out buying tools. That purchase was about to become obvious in other ways. Cabs cruised the street outside like vultures, looking for people with stuff too awkward to carry, which made no sense economically. Save $5 at the big box store, spend $8 hauling it home. But the arrangement suited me fine right then. Within a minute, I was on my way back south. I got out on 3rd, near but not right next to the firehouse. 10 feet ahead of me, I saw the medical tech step into the alley. The guy looked clean and rested. He was wearing chinos and a white T-shirt and basketball shoes. Staff rotation, I figured. The agents held the fort all day, and then the medical guy took over at night to make sure the prisoners were still alive in the morning. Efficient rather than humane. I imagined that the flow of information was considered more important than any individual's rights or welfare. I put the pry bar in my left hand and hustled hard in my loose rubber shoes and made it to the personnel door before the guy was all the way through it. I didn't want him to kick the hose coupler away and let it close behind him. That would give me a problem I didn't need. The guy heard me and turned in the doorway, and his hands came up defensively, and I shoved him hard and tumbled him inside. He slid on the trash and went down on one knee. I picked him up by the neck and held him at arm's length and eased the brass coupler aside with my toe and let the door close until it clicked. Then I turned back and was about to explain the guy's options to him, but I saw that he already understood them. Be good or get hit.